Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 5 p.m. The Think Tank. We have Crane Durham looking very Tennessee. I love it.
Thank you.
We're going to hook you up. You're going to get Phoebe Glover out there and teach her how to be aggressive at tennis.
It was such an honor to get that text from you. Thank you.
Don't you think this is apropos nothing?
Sure.
The younger the athlete, the more it's about aggression as opposed to talent. Have you ever seen a little kid's soccer game? It's all about who's the dick. I mean, it really is. Like, who's going to go up there, kick the ball, kick someone in the face?
I'm drowning in testosterone over here.
I think it's...
That's going to be the name of your memoir.
I think definitely aggression is part of it in the sense of wanting to win.
Right.
And I don't know. It's one of those things where some people have that sense and some people do not. And one is not right and the other's not wrong. It's just... It's hard for me because I like to compete.
Yeah. And aggression took me into college, and it was like, oh, you don't have a lot of talent. That's literally what happened. Oh, you're not good at this sport. You're just really mean. Mike Colonna, who does not like testosterone, is next to Crane. Hello.
Oh, no, I like testosterone. Don't get me wrong.
He's just, don't want to drown in it.
I don't want to drown in it. Right.
Moderation.
And I was not athletic in high school, so this conversation about... Be aggressive, or were do you have talent? I'm thinking, man,
were you that
I enjoyed
guy?
The drama club.
Were you like, oh, God, it's PE time?
Yeah, I'll tell you what really happened.
Mm.
And parents, if you're listening, this is important. I remember doing Little League ball, all right? You know, what are you, like second, third grade? And I couldn't hit the ball. I couldn't catch the ball. So, of course, everybody teases you, you know, and the old man yells at you. The coach yells at you. A year later, I found out I needed glasses thicker than the bottom of a Coke
bottle. Wow.
But by that time, the damage was done,
Cat's
Dave.
Out of the bag.
I was done with sports.
That's a real thing. You know what that is for me? No kidding. Mathematics. In ninth grade, I had Mrs. Galliez, who was horrid, and I hated her, and she hated me. And my defense mechanism was, of course, trying to be funny and making fun of her in front of the class. And after that, I was like, I'm bad at math. Now, maybe I am, but I never found out because I avoided every math class after that because I just like you with sports. I'm like, I'm done, you know?
Of course, that my experience with sports led me to the belief that big government can help local schools eyeball test their kids and make sure they're vaccinated.
Yeah. Ryan Wiggins, where are you on the testosterone sports spectrum?
Where does golf lie in that spectrum?
All the way to the left.
Okay, then I had none because I was a golfer. But we went to state, so I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
I didn't get to play, but I was with a lot of good players, and I got to pretend I was there.
There you go.
Yeah.
You want to start out, Mike, with people calling you a traitor? I like that.
Oh.
Is it a bunch of people or just a couple people?
No, it's you know, I practice in some goofy areas of law, and one of the areas that I've been practicing in lately have been, you know, kids that have been accused of Title IX violations at some of our Missouri universities. And you remember Title IX, it was, you know, originally passed so that, you know, women weren't discriminated against in college sports. And, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later, it's used to deal with sexual assault on college campuses. So maybe about 10, 12 years ago in the Obama administration, Department of Education came down and said, look, universities, in order to be in compliance with Title IX, you have to have a procedure through which if somebody feels, say, they were date raped or they were sexually assaulted on campus, they can come to an administrator, make a complaint, and then you have a procedure to figure out what's real, what isn't real, and then you also have like a system of penalties all the way from... You know, you can't go to that class anymore, too. We're going to expel you, and you got to pay your scholarship money back.
Wow.
So, Dave, what's happened is, that's all, very generic rules and regs.
Yeah.
So what's happened is every school has come up with their own type of here's how we're going to do it, all the way from you're not entitled to a lawyer, no, you can't talk to witnesses, no, you can't read that police report, No, you can't talk to the victim. Again, lawyer, you're a support dog. Sit there. And then they come up with these rulings that kick kids out of school, you know, which is a complete disservice, not just to the individual who's accused, but to the victim as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the victim wants a fair shake. The victim wants to know that if a ruling comes down from some Title IX board on a university college campus, that it's based upon fact and reality. So anyway, Dave, here's a bill introducing Jeff City that puts some basic due process into the Title IX procedure. And the reality of it is it's really based upon a lot of the things that Betsy DeVos wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm coming at an issue from that of a lawyer who has been in the trenches and experienced this, who believes in due process for everyone, a lot of my Democratic colleagues are looking at this from a political sound point mm-hmm. view. And that is, what do you have against victims?
Yeah.
Why are you trying to make this harder for victims? You know what? I'm a better lawyer than I am a politician.
Good for you. I think everyone should be for due process on both sides.
Amen.
And we're both, you know, hypocrites, left and right, because we're so focused on outcome. I think it's a perfect segue into what the 2020 people are saying about the Electoral College.
Well, I forgot. Just that, Dave, I got to tell you, right quick, I just got to tell you, you are on the right path when one of our most conservative state senators, Bob Onder, says publicly, you know what, Mike, on this, I'm a true liberal. I'm right there with you. And what he means by that is true liberals and even true conservatives, we believe in exactly what you said. Due process is guaranteed by the Constitution. As a real liberal that believes in due process in the Constitution, I'll work hand in hand with Dr. Bob Onder any day to try and make this happen.
Yeah, it can't be about outcome. It can't be that the leftist lost, the conservative lost. We can't have that. It has to be due process. Who deserved to win? Who deserved to lose? And anytime you start monkeying with this, I mean, let's face it, we all monkey with the system so that we win. But for example, the Electoral College, what am I missing? What am I missing? I mean, we've been doing this since the start, and it seems like a very simple, hey, New York's going to dominate Kentucky. We should make sure everyone, and then it gets to the point that your guys are losing and you want to change it.
It's so short-sighted to make that a political issue, because that could change so fast for anybody. And plus, it's such a non-starter to me. I don't know. It's such a non-starter because if you try to actually make that law and you look into what it takes to change the Constitution and make the Electoral College go away, it is almost impossible. So it's just a talking point.
Let me rephrase what you're saying. Let me rephrase what you're saying. It's too hard, so we shouldn't do it.
It's not possible.
Are you kidding me?
It's not going to happen.
Wait, no. Is that your reason why you don't want it to happen?
If it were more possible, would you still want to
say
no?
No. I'm saying the debate is really moot because there's no way for it to happen in the current political environment.
It's so short-sighted.
Oh, that's short-sighted.
Are you for it, Mike?
Dave, I'm so glad you asked, because I think we need to phrase the conversation first, okay? Again, think about the way our country was set up, our Constitutional Convention. Why do we have the Electoral College? You know, we had a couple warring factions back in the day. We had the populists who are like, you know what? One person, one vote. If you get the most votes, you should win. And then we had another crew, and like it or not, they're what we would call elites. And the elites were a little bit afraid of populist votes. They were a little bit afraid of the mob or in the masses, that perhaps the mob and the mass wouldn't have the best interests of the country at heart. So there needs to be, in their opinion, some type of what we call a governor to slow down the mob. We'll eventually get there, but if you slow down the mob and take this change slowly.
So in the beginning, it wasn't a left or right thing. It was just we don't want the majority to be able to steamroll.
They don't want the mob rule. Correct. So again, the electoral college was a compromise between the two ends of the spectrum at that time. And that is, we do believe in, you know, one man, one vote back then, as long as they weren't African-American or women's. But we don't want smaller states, smaller constituencies, the minority, to be rolled over by the majority.
And is that bad? Was that a great idea, or is it a dated idea?
From my perspective,
as a Democrat,
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I do get grumpy that the last two Republicans that were elected lost the popular vote. But whether I like it or not, I'm kind of an elite because I've seen how mob rule can screw things up. Because
like Ryan pointed out, I don't see it changing anytime soon that New York flips and becomes conservative or L.A., but it could. You know, you could end up on the other side of this. Crane, where do you come down?
I say, Crane, you've been awful quiet.
Well, no, I'm drinking it all in. I obviously am a fan of the Electoral College because we're a constitutional republic. I think that is important to recognize that it's not just a popular democracy. I think it does protect small states. I think it protects those interests. I think it also protects us from that idea of mob rule. I can understand and appreciate the upset that California, obviously, you know, if that goes a different way, then you have the popular vote going to a Republican, right? Okay.
How long has it been since the Electoral College helped Democrats? As in, oh, you wouldn't have won the popular vote.
I was just reading today about the fact that George W. Bush was the last one Republican who won the popular vote in 2004 versus 2000. Yeah, it's re-election as opposed. So this is designed. I mean, the genesis of this is sore loser. I can't defeat you on the ideas. I'm not really getting too excited. I'm just allowing myself to finish, or hopefully.
We're having a conversation. Is,
yes, a give and take. Thank you. So,
by the way, you're dressed like a really hip priest today.
Great.
You look like everyone's favorite youth pastor.
Thank you very much. I mean, you know, I was called Fred Rogers of tennis the other day, and it was the greatest compliment
we'll
ever.
We'll take a picture and
thank
post
you
it.
Very much. In sincerity, no, Mike, I mean, I hear what both of you are saying, but I am looking at it and I'm saying, okay, what is this really about? It's about the fact that the left can't deliver on their ideas and convince the people within the system that we have. Now, California
is not... Why
do you
have to politicize it? This isn't... No.
Because it's the genesis of it is, I lost. I can't believe Trump's president. Oh, no, we need to go back.
That is a politicization of the real issue. The real issue, once again, is one man, one vote, and man universal versus an elitist way. And an elitist doesn't mean like I'm better than you. You know, it just means we
have a constitutional republic that respects the state's rights in the way of laboratories of democracy. However imperfect that has been over history, which it has and always will be because it's human nature, the fact is it's the best system to work through possible changes that we need.
Part of the beauty of that best system is the ability to change it. And you're right, changing it is hard.
The elitist way to do it is to have every presidential election be campaigning in just New York and LA. That's what would happen if you went to just a popular vote. You'd have them campaigning in just the five biggest markets and everybody else would
with the umbrella of the federal government's power. So I can't move out of a state, which many people are doing from Democratic states. They're moving out. You know why? Because those policies are harmful to economic growth and prosperity.
Dave, that's what we call a selective reading of statistics. Because I didn't hear anything in there about how people are moving out
to Detroit.
Of rural
they're,
red
they're flocking
to
Baltimore.
Urban blue.
So I'm just saying that if you look at what has happened, people are moving with their feet to states that and by that mean cities.
So legit question, because I'm just not very studied on this. Has it always been that big cities were liberal and the rural was more conservative? Because like my dad was a union carpenter. We couldn't have been more rural, but total Democrat. Let's answer that when we come back. Quick break. DGS Think Tank.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, Mike Colonna, Crane Durham, Ryan Wiggins. So we just left off with, let's do a little bit of history. Talking about the Electoral College, because the Dems running for 2020 have pretty much unanimously said, yes, let's get rid of it, which I think in the next election would very likely give it to the Democrats, because the big urban areas are very liberal. There are more of them, and there you go, they win. So I was saying that my mom and dad always voted Democrat. We grew up in the country, ish, and it was because of unions. Has it always been that big cities were very blue or liberal, and or is this more of a modern phenomenon?
It is modern. It's changed more recently because rural areas used to be more Democratic because Democrat was for the working man.
Right.
And then you had... And it's fluid. It's not like there was a line where it suddenly changed. But it used to be that the big cities were richer people who could afford to live there. And that's where more industry was, higher end industry. And so they were a little bit more Republican, which is weird to say that now, because it really seems like that's switched. And Democrats are working hard this election cycle to try to grab the working man that they've lost. So that's something I think that changes like every decade. But to answer your question, I think that's historically. Yeah.
So what about, it seems like piling on, but it's not putting words in their mouth. It's what they're talking about. The other things the Democrats are talking about is lowering the voting age of 16, reparations, Medicaid for all, having the Supreme Court be 25 justices instead of 9. Is it hard for you, Mike, as a Democrat, as a progressive, to embrace those things? You think they're making a mistake with that platform?
Nah, I think right now you've got a very vocal minority end of the party engaged. What are we, 18 months away from any election? And you have the ideologues that are out there, you know, talking now. And since they're the only ones out there, that's who the press is paying attention to and reporting on. But, you know, if you take those topics you mentioned, Medicaid for all, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with everybody having health insurance. Reparations, I think that's just something that the press likes to jump on.
Sort of like overturning Roe v. Wade for the right.
And Rush Limbaugh can get on and say, isn't that bad and stupid? It's not a major platform, I think, that will ever be adopted. What was the other one?
The Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court. I like the way you inflated Beto's number to 25, but
25 is the Cory Booker number.
We've talked about it before. Our court wasn't always 9 justices. Should we increase it? Yeah, I don't know. Is it a conversation we should have? Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, people are at least talking about it. But let's remember why we're talking about it. You know, when Mitch McConnell decides that we are not going to hold an up or down vote on a nominee because he's afraid of the scary black man that was in the White House, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. You know?
Crane
always rolls his
that.
Eyes.
What? You're better than that.
Hey, I'm trying
you're
to talk to the least
that,
common
sir.
Denominator.
You really are.
Here.
I mean, the scary black man in the White House.
From my end, that's what it felt
that's
like.
Juvenile.
That's so juvenile. They're still doing it now.
Have
you
listened
to the president?
Because it was about race. It wasn't about the fact that, Harry Reid went to the nuclear option, and we go back to the facts of this.
But
and then
they still voted.
And my point is that the issue's never the issue, is it? It's never just saying, hey, you can't sell your ideas because they're pretty bad. Venezuela, bad, not good, harmful to people.
I see you've bought into all Democrats are socialists. You bought into the socialist scare.
I haven't brought into
it. I guess it's like
the
Red Scare that they had in the 50s.
Didn't you just say all Republicans are racist and do the same thing, though?
No.
That's an
interesting
point. Yeah,
I just said I was preaching to the least common denominator.
Well,
I mean, you all are preaching to the nutty end of my spectrum, saying that we want reparations for everybody.
No, we're talking about your presidential candidates getting up.
It really
is. I mean, we're talking about Bernie Sanders being mainstream. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I've never talked about Bernie Sanders being mainstream,
but he's way up in the polls.
He's
one of the main guys,
second only to Beto when it comes to his fundraising.
Well, if the crew of folks that are running for president was closed, then we could have a conversation about what the only people running for president are going to do. But you know it's not closed. You already know Uncle Joe is out there saying, hey, donors, I'm going to get in the race. Wait, don't tell anybody I'm getting the race. Hey, donors, I'm going to get in the race. Can I have some money? You know, and don't tell me that Uncle Joe is a Bernie Sanders when it comes to policy. He's not.
I would just say that there is an authenticity, whether I disagree with a whole lot.
I would agree with you there. No, you're right. You are right.
Bernie Sanders.
There is an authenticity, and we are seeing
that the idea to say, you know what, at least I'm getting what he truly is. And that's something that they're trying to create Beto in that way. They're trying to fill that vacuum. And with Booker, I don't even know if that's even a serious idea.
I'm not even paying attention to him. I don't think he's going to be serious contender.
But think about what they're trying to do. They're trying to get attention, and they're trying to get the next to be the front runner to get the money. And to do that, they've got to say things that are out there.
Crazy.
But like, that doesn't nice dismiss if they could just the fact go to that Sheldon these Addison. Ideas have and nice. Continue to have impact on the party's
Russia.
Platform.
Dave, what if they just went to Russia and asked for money?
I'm also wondering what Joe Biden is going to push back on to the left agenda, because I think he's going to have to run at least as left as Bernie Sanders did last time. I don't see Joe saying, hey, come on, kids, let's be adults here. We can't do blah, blah, blah. I could be wrong. I like Joe Biden a lot. I wish there were a true moderate in the race. I would consider them, but I don't think he's going to do it. I think he's going to go as far left as he possibly can stomach.
I don't think he will. I think he'll try to run as, look, I'm the only one that can win. I think that'll be his platform.
You're reading my mind.
I think he should.
You're reading my mind. I think you're correct.
I don't think running to the left, because there's going left of the people that are out there right now is almost impossible. I mean, the stuff that they're saying.
He's already apologized for saying that Pence was a good guy. This guy's going to do what it takes to get there. Well, and I'm sorry, he doesn't have the
political courage. That is a simplification of what he said.
Okay, but hold on. Actually, read his comment. Yes, we have two comments.
His apology was, you know, the fact that he's a homophobe does make him a bad person.
Pence is not a homophobe. No, he is not a homophobe.
Dave, I'm done with this conversation. Are you kidding me?
He's fearful of homosexuals? I mean, what does that mean?
What I mean by that is, I'm not having this conversation. That is so insulting.
It is so insulting to the vice president to call him a homophobe. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I'm not having this conversation. No.
So I'm guessing, Crane, you mean that if someone's religious beliefs make them believe in traditional marriage, that is not a homophobe. Right. And Mike, I'm guessing you're meaning anyone who takes that strong a stand against gay marriage or homosexuality is a homophobe. Right?
You know, when somebody thinks it's okay to discriminate against you because you're gay, they go fly a kite as far as I'm concerned. And that's the outrage that I understand and that I feel from every end of the political spectrum. And I understand why people would be mad at Vice President Biden for saying that Vice President Pence is a good guy. But what I try and do, and what I would preach to my friends who believe in equal treatment for LGBT folks, is that is just one part of this individual's political, religious, personal belief spectrum. There are other things that Vice President Pence has done that has been good for the country and was good for his state when he was governor. He is a good man for doing those things and helping people. But when it comes to his belief on LGBT folks, no. In my opinion, it should not be tolerated, and folks can be outraged by that.
Brad, what about the ambassador to Germany disagrees with you.
And the prime minister of Ireland does not.
So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, the smear of being homophobic because you hold traditional beliefs in your faith, and that somehow means you want to be disrespectful to people?
Well, Mike, I don't think you want to be disrespectful to anybody. Back when Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were both for traditional marriage, would you have labeled them homophobic?
No, we know more about Vice President Pence and his belief about homosexuality that it goes beyond, I believe, in traditional marriage. But Dave, I think a really good example of I mean, we have a Republican, you know, who's the governor of our state. He believes in traditional marriage. But he has also come out in the record and said, but you know what? I don't think we should discriminate folks based upon their sexuality. You shouldn't fire people because of that. You fire people because they do a bad job. You shouldn't box them out of a housing development because they're gay. You box them out because they tear the place up or they don't pay their mortgage or they don't pay their rent. So there's a conservative Republican who believes in traditional marriage, who also believes in equal treatment for folks who are LGBT.
Do you think Pence just goes beyond that?
He does. Yeah. He does. It's on record. It's fact.
Well, I think the discrimination comes in line when it comes to charitable organizations or religious institutions that are being either discriminated against in state funds, in the case of Massachusetts when it comes to adoption, or it comes into the issue of the idea of exercising your beliefs and stating what your beliefs are and having an organization be maintained in that way.
It doesn't bother me, okay, if Vice President Pence is homophobic. What bothers me is when he takes that homophobia and attempts to enact public policy based on that homophobia. Are you kidding me? His wife works for a school where if you're gay, you can't come here. And he thinks that's okay. His wife wouldn't be caught half asleep at the press conference with the Prime Minister of Ireland, who's gay, who was in the White House with his partner.
So you're thinking that the vice president's wife would be disrespectful to the person and not respect them as a human being? Because because what you're doing is you're talking about a religious school or religious principles that are held in the school and upholding those and having the right to do so. And I don't think that means that you dislike people who happen to be gay. You may not approve. You may believe that it is a sin. There are a lot of sins out there. People sin in that way, if your religious belief is that.
Then move to a theocracy.
Not theocracy. It's not an institution in the way of being able to exercise one's faith. And do you have the same problem with Islam? Do you have the same problem with that? I mean, my only point is the idea that somehow, for example, as a Christian, if I am for traditional marriage, and I believe that is between a man and a woman, that doesn't mean I dislike somebody who happens to be gay.
Quick break, right back, DGS.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back, guys. DGS, Crane Durham, Mike Colonna, Ryan Wiggins. Let's talk about New Zealand. There's nothing to say about the shooting, really. Just another monster with another crazy agenda. We can talk about that if you want to, because it is interesting that he's name-dropping the president. We can talk about that. But let's talk about what they're doing. That just a few days after the shooting, the prime minister says, hey, no more assault weapons, no more assault rifles, no more high-capacity clips. You turn them in, we'll buy them from you. No one can own them anymore. It starts in 10 days. Boom, go. That's it. So I understand that they don't have the Second Amendment. I understand that it's different there. But the left is saying, look, we've been dicking around with this for decades. They just did it in the space of a couple weeks. Ryan?
That's a bad idea, because then everything you do is reactionary to just what's going on in the moment. And therefore, you get laws like this that are passed that might have long-term ramifications that have nothing to do with what just happened in New Zealand.
I don't think... Ryan is on there, right on there, and I happen to see the issue is, if you want to disarm a society, there is a historical examples where that's a really bad idea, and it may not happen overnight, but it hasn't changed human nature. And our founders were clear on this, as well as the understanding of what it means to gun ownership in the United States. I think it's ridiculous. I think you got to target mental health, sure. I think you got to do certain things. But to try to take it, people say, don't politicize it. But if it's politicized, then we're having a debate about the issue. But we're not having a debate about the issue. We're talking about what actually is the object that is being used, but we're not talking about how the violence is the issue itself. And to say, okay, what do the facts tell us? They tell us that legal gun ownership, and we have laws on the book with mental health, and there are a lot of breakdowns here in the United States where there were warning signs. And so are we actually targeting? They tell us about gun-free zones and what that means and how shooters look out for that. So why don't we actually have an honest conversation instead of smearing organizations like the NRA, which are only protecting our Second Amendment rights and understanding history and human nature of the 20th century.
Mike?
I'm trying to remember which talking point Crane forgot to put in there, but that's okay.
I love you, man.
I do not agree that it's a reactionary move by the folks in New Zealand. You know, the issue of assault weapons, their place in society, you know, what are they good for other than a combat zone? That's been an issue that has been a topic of conversation for a very long time. And I think that you have a traumatic event like that that brings that discussion back to the forefront. And now New Zealand has decided to do something about it. From our perspective, you know, the U.S. perspective, Dave, you're right. We have the Second Amendment, and that is a given. So, of course, the conversation is completely different. But I got to be honest with you. I am really looking forward to see what happens when the next president who's elected that happens to be a Democrat declares a national emergency for gun violence and outlaws, or goes to ban assault weapons and, I don't know, maybe something else. Because, well, you know, as President Trump has told us, that's his right to do that.
Yeah. Didn't do anything.
That's a great point. And what you're speaking to, though, is Dave's original question, which is that is it good that governments can respond that fast and do something that swiftly? And the answer is no. You just defined why that's a bad idea.
No, I would agree with you. And it's our system is designed to move slowly, and it's designed to move slowly on purpose. And I do think that's a good thing. And it helps slow down debate and give everybody the opportunity to, in essence, get their thought in, to get their piece in, and to let us debate it from an intellectual standpoint versus an emotional standpoint.
Judging by the reaction to Roy Blunt's decision to vote against,
I am so glad you brought that
up, national emergency, I would say I'm one of the few conservatives who actually does believe that maybe we're moving too fast. Maybe Trump's moving a little bit too fast with this, Crane. I know you're a conservative. I have no idea where you stand on that.
No, I actually think it was, I'm not for the national emergency. I think he has to make the case to the American people, and there were other ways to go about what he wanted to accomplish.
It bothers me that
we have the new Trump standard. I say this as someone who voted for Trump, who likes certain things about President Trump. I was never a never Trumper. People accuse me of that because I say, you know what? Hey, President Trump has a responsibility to communicate with the American people. And they say, well, he did that once. No, he's had many different issues on the border. He's talked about the wall. And
Crane,
it's like, oh, Trump's not going to change. Well, you know what?
Crane,
one of the things I want to do
is... Let me help. You're getting emotional.
It's passion because it's about the facts of the border.
So what you're really saying is... A vote against this national emergency has nothing to do whether or not you're a supporter of President Trump. They are two completely different topics.
I would agree with that.
Yes, and
I would too.
And when we talk about Senator Blunt and how he was disinvited from the Christian County Republican days, you know, from an intellectual standpoint, you sit back and you think, well, you know, we have 116 counties in the state of Missouri. He was disinvited from one dinner. But then if you get political and a little sassy, historically speaking, the Christian County Republican Central Committee is a little batty. So I think they are the outliers. I'm sure there are some good constitutional Republicans and conservative folks, regardless of their political affiliation, who might be grumpy with Senator Blunt on this, but we can agree to disagree. And I have I've always had the utmost respect for Senator Blunt because he does put country and people over politics. And this is an example of it. And let's be real. He knew he was going to catch some heat for this. And he attempted to explain to folks from the easy level on why I did it. I don't want the next Democrat to do it. But you also know he can make that conservative intellectual argument on why he needed to vote no. And I got to take my hat off to him. Good for him.
Well, I think we've talked a lot about emotion and facts and intellectual addressing of these issues and substantive intellectual discussion about that and not letting emotion supersede that. And it's so interesting to me that when I look at liberalism today, and whether it's a discussion on the national emergency or whatever it is, it's the fact that, well, the facts are that we have a problem at the border and we need to enforce our laws, and that's a huge problem, and we're continuing to have that problem. We've had it for a long time, and we need to address that. And that we have one group of people demonizing the enforcers of the law. That would be ICE, and that would be Democrats. And you have the other side saying, enforce our laws and go about it. But they always want to make it about something else, always about race. And that's very emotional because we all have that knee-jerk reaction to it. Bottom line, if we want to talk about facts, whether it's gun control or the border or tax policy, let's have the discussion.
You're right.
Let's go.
You're right. Because the facts are, the Democrats said, you know what? You want to secure the border? No big deal. We'll give you money for some wall. We'll give you money for beefed up security at ports of entry where most of the drugs come through so that we could look at every car that comes through instead of one of every 15, you know, where most of the drugs come through. And the president refused to negotiate. So, I mean, those are facts. Democrats want to secure the border.
The facts are that they were for the wall before they were against the wall. And now we move back to this ridiculous discussion but merely about a wall, the idea of the wall. We all want a barrier, don't we? Let's stop with the politics. We all want a barrier. We want to make sure we do this.
Oh, barrier. I thought you meant bury somebody.
No. And the idea is that you don't incentivize people putting their children on death trains, and so you have 12-year-olds getting pregnancy tests at the border when you incentivize the behavior
for children being removed from their parents at the border and dying in government custody, even though that is against the federal law we passed years ago.
Yes,
and it's not happening anymore.
Thank goodness.
I don't know. I my heart goes out to these people. I would do it too, but I have to blame them primarily when something goes bad with their family because they're taking it upon themselves to do something dangerous and illegal.
To put their family at risk in reality.
Yes, absolutely. All right, guys, we have to finish this one early. Appreciate it, Ryan, Crane, and Mike. Quick break.
Thank
you. Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.